Com.
Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band? Yeah. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Oh, it is back, and it's fully lit at Education Talk. Busted Pencils, educated educators talking education. Our guest tonight, the president of Trinity Washington University, Pat McGuire. Pat, we've been talking about cancel culture and how to cancel culture. And we've got a caller on the phone. Evan, who we got there?
We've got Tony from Madison joining us.
All right. Tony from Madison, what is going on, my friend?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I listened to your show, and now I'm not sure. Are you guys being serious, or are you just saying things to, like, rile up the crowd or give ratings or whatever you're trying to do? Because you can't think the country's in better shape now than it was 2 years ago. That'd be impossible.
Inflation. Well, hold on. Give me a minute to think. Actually, I don't need that long. I'm not sure the country's in any worse shape than it is. If you're trying to say because President Biden is in office and not President Trump, I'm not sure that either one of those people have any real bearing on the issues that President McGuire and I are talking about at the moment. So if I'm rallying you up, Tony, it might be that you're just a little bit easily to be riled.
No,
and the fact is that you're not really paying attention. What we're talking about here, which we would love to have you join our conversation, is the fact that there are some things such as the past, which we call history, the things you learn, the truth, and that when there are certain legislators, whether they be Republican, Democrat, authoritarian, whatever you want, when they start to say that those things are illegal for academics like Pat and I to discuss on college campuses, to discuss in second grade classrooms, if slavery is offensive to a second grader, then that's the conversation we're having, Tony. So, I mean, if you're supportive of censoring the truth, let us know.
No, you're censoring the truth. You're censoring.
Okay, I didn't.
Yeah. The issue is teaching 5, 6, and 7 year olds about transgenderism. Now, if you think it's all right for guys to dress as women and men to have sex with men and to steal.
Oh, wait, it's that one. It's not about history. It's not about slavery. We've got to go right to the instant. Oh, my goodness. It's a transgender issue. And we're going to be indoctrinating 5, 6, and 7 year olds. Tony, we're talking about the fact that there are issues of truth here that are being legislated out of the curriculum. And I would love one day for somebody like you and people who are out there, spend some more time just listening for a moment and stop getting so offended. So, yes, Evan, let's please cancel Tony at this point, because, yeah, we're not going to give him the mic. And
well,
I'll participate in cancel.
We talked about this last week, right?
I know. We talked about it. It's like, okay, it's Pat, I want to get back to Pat, though. Pat, there you go. Pat, you brought him on. I just want to read, though, Pat, before, you know, and this is from Pat's piece, quote, "It's time for higher education. Are you listening, brother and sister university presidents, to stand up for the values of free speech and expression that are the bedrock of our democracy? Academic freedom itself, the freedom of faculty to teach and research as they see fit, is in the gravest danger we've seen in decades. Let's show our students exactly what it means to stand up and be counted for what matters the most to our society, our freedom to teach, to learn, to think, to write, to live free from fear of government repression," end quote. And Tony. Pat.
Well, I meant every word that I said. And if we don't get serious about standing up for the right of the academy to be free in thought, in speech, in teaching, in books, in what we have in our libraries, then we will lose this republic. It is the greatest danger, not just to higher education, but to the United States of America from our internal sense of repression of thought and speech and expression. And this fascist movement right now, and it is a fascist, authoritarian fascist movement to repress learning, which should be free. Now, if people don't like what's being taught, then fine. You are free to present a different point of view. That's the freedom that we have. Mm-hmm. You are free, and there's a role for families and parents. There's a role for churches. There's a role for teachers. Let the debate be robust, but don't repress what needs to be taught.
So maybe I repressed Tony then, or did I?
No. Tony was off point entirely. And as a teacher, both you and I would say, Tony, go to the corner until right. you listen to our discussion.
Well, and if he wants to have, like you said, if you want to have this discussion, I mean, you and I want to have this discussion, but I'm not going to be drawn in, as you just said, as we talked about in the beginning of the show, a provocateur type of person who comes on to go, oh, so you're fine with teaching five-year-olds about sex, right? Uh-huh. You know, right into it. It's like, no, we're talking about having a legitimate discussion around issues. You are glad, we are glad to have you participate. If you don't agree with us, we would like for you to disagree with us, but mm-hmm. you don't now get to tell us that we're either censoring you and or for some reason, this is the other part, because we think that somebody who thinks that 7, 8, 9-year-olds might benefit from some form of a comprehensive sex education curriculum, because the research is pretty clear on that, that as educators who have studied the outcomes, the research on teaching and learning about, my goodness, sexuality and or gender, mm-hmm. that the research is pretty clear that we should be doing it at an early age. Okay, Tony, what Pat and I didn't say is we should be teaching kids to engage in sexual promiscuity.
Right. But, you know, Tim, there's another piece of this that I just want to mention, which sure. is typical of what we just heard from our caller, Tony. We were talking about racism. We were right. talking about slavery in history. We were talking about the 1619 Project. And one of the things that has happened in this era, and it was Trumpism writ large, in my view, and we've got to name it for what it is. There's an immediate effort to jump into any discussion and to twist what's being said mm-hmm. and to introduce other topics that are totally off point in order to deflect the listener or the viewer or the reader. And so, for example, to say that we were, you know, somehow poisoning children's minds with mm-hmm. transgender theory, we weren't discussing transgender theory. Right. We're discussing slavery.
Yeah,
and slavery as a
fallacy.
Topic
yeah.
and the history of this country's terrible sins in race relations starting in 1619 need to be taught. There's nothing wrong with teaching that. And don't bastardize this, excuse my French, by coming in and saying that somehow it's related to teaching children perverse notions of sexuality, which it's, you know, it has nothing to do with that. But this is the tactic that's used.
Oh, and thank you for bringing it up, because I was skating around that issue, because yeah, I mean, that was the old duck and dodge move on Tony. Yeah. It's like, hey, you guys are talking about this, which really means you're talking about this that I want to talk about. Right. And then I'm going to, yeah. So, but Tony, hey, we would love for you to call us one day and talk about the reality of whether we should be teaching truthful facts to kids. And I don't know, maybe we want to even get into an age appropriate discussion about the graphicness of certain facts of history mm-hmm. and when they are appropriate or not to teach, because those are conversations that are worth having. However, to say that we're going to outright ban, and I love the language, which is of course you know, Alec and or Coke language, divisive concepts.
Yeah,
I'm like, my goodness, divisive. And I love the other measure. If you teach a divisive concept and if a kid gets uncomfortable, my goodness, have you ever talked about the most ambiguous language ever? That, you know, it's like, I'm uncomfortable, and I think I'm uncomfortable because I learned the truth. My goodness, yeah. Pat, why did you expose me to that? I'm so upset with you. No, you know, we're not going to do that. But Pat, I want to, you know, as we're coming up here on and the end of the show for our time with the guest, I really want to bring back, though, the appreciation of a leader like you in higher education to bring this to the discussion point, because it really is frightening sometimes to listen, hear, and see what seems to be almost like a Well, it's the chilling effect. The chilling effect on leaders and on educators who, and I think, are probably rightfully frightened.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then their self-censorship or being quiet or being afraid to be called divisive.
Yeah.
But you kind of are saying, you know what, though, we have to do that. That's our job as educators.
It is our job. And I will say, and I've said this in other contexts, you know, you asked me if people got mad at me for what I wrote, and they didn't, because they've heard me say this before. Too many college presidents are too much in love with the idea that their job is to raise money and to keep their donors happy, or, you know, to keep their state legislatures happy. I understand that public college presidents are in a more difficult position than those of us in private education. But our job number one is teaching. And our job number one related to that is the health and durability of the academy, which depends on academic freedom. I don't care if it's $10 million or $100 million. If you trade away the ability of the academy to operate freely, to think freely, and if you trade away the ability of our faculty to be able to teach in freedom, then you have nothing left. There is no institution worth receiving a gift of any size if you cannot preserve the values of the academy. And we are the counterweight to government, is the other piece of this. It's up to the academy to speak out against the government. Who else will speak out if the universities don't? There's no one else speaking out. I mean, the press tries to. The press is compromised these days, too, in many ways, because of the way people are buying up newspapers, radio stations, Elon Musk buying Twitter. What's that about? You know, the end of free Twitter. So it's up to us in the academy to take a stand in favor of freedom, intellectual academic freedom.
Well, and as you said, I mean, that's really, you know, when we're talking about learning, if truth mm-hmm. is not if truth is, quote, outlawed, and or even the idea that the truth might be something we want to avoid, we can't really have learning, as you point that out. Yep. So let's talk about that. Evan, we got another caller on the line. Did Tony call back?
No. Everyone gets one shot. You get one bite at the apple on Devil Radio. No, we've got Alan from DeForest.
Okay. Alan, what's happening?
First of all, a couple of things. First of all, I had to laugh when you asked if Tony called back. I had to laugh at that one, okay? That was funny. Okay, now, first of all, I want to say I've had some really, really good teachers in my life. Some that taught me jobs like mechanical work and stuff like that. Ones that got me interested in reading and in science. I'm one of the lucky ones, okay? But now, what I wanted to comment on was maybe part of the reason why they are trying to control what you teach in history is because we are doomed to repeat history if we don't remember it. Well, if you don't teach it, then they won't remember, and you might be able to sucker them into doing something stupid like they used to do. That's all I got to say on that.
Alan, I think that's profound. Pat, what do you think?
Well, I think if you don't know history, you may repeat the sins of the past. I totally agree with that, which is why we need to know about history so we don't make the same mistakes over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, history is one of those topics. It's interesting because it's like, well, that I don't know if we can, you know, back to the old Jack Nicholson movie, well, you can't handle the truth. And, well, mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I'm absolutely positive we can't handle the lie. Give me a shot at the truth, though, because when we engage in education, when we engage in teaching, when we engage in learning, searching for that truth is mm-hmm. what we're doing. And so it might be uncomfortable sometimes to find the truth, Pat, right? I mean, if we find the truth and that truth is somehow counterbalanced to what we thought, my goodness, that might make me uncomfortable, might make me sleepless a few nights. But then I wake up and I've learned and I'm now free. So free education, the freedom to learn, and that's the way you pose this. I've heard other people talk about, you know, if you have the right, a human right to learning, then you have mm-hmm. to have that human then has to have the right to the access to freedom and free thought.
That's right. And we educators are responsible for giving our students the ability to think freely, to think critically, to know facts that are facts as distinguished from opinion. That's what we do as teachers, as educators. You know, when people began to realize, for example, let's take a well-known story, that Thomas Jefferson was a slave owner, that blew people's minds, because for centuries we learned about Thomas Jefferson as the great author of the Declaration of Independence. Nobody thought of him and Sally Hemings, for example. Right. Now, some people may mind that history, but that's historical fact. And the story of the Founding Fathers, which is 1619, changed the whole understanding of American history in a way that's truthful. It is not made up. It is important to understand because it informs race relations today in this country that, well, still are unresolved.
And, you know, what you said, though, too, with Thomas Jefferson, right, and, you know, who was the writer of the Declaration, just to be clear, too, and I know this is what you meant, and he still is the writer of that Declaration of Independence, even when we found out this other stuff that, my goodness, actually historians did know, but for some reason when I went to school, they weren't allowed to teach us that. But now that we know this, guess what? Thomas Jefferson still is the author of the Declaration of Independence. He's now, you know, a flawed human individual with problems that we can talk about and look at and discuss and try to, you know, wrestle with. How can somebody write about freedom and own people at the same time? How, you know, and the fact is, is that that discussion, to be able to engage in that, is really what's at risk, is having that type of a deep discussion about two truths that seem to contradict each other, but are existing at the exact same time. Evan, I know we have another caller. Do I need to wait till the other side?
That's up to you, my friend. How you feeling? Do you want to take a caller quick?
No, let's wait for the end here. I'm gonna let our guests.
All right, Mark, sit tight.
Okay. Our guest tonight, President Patricia McGuire, Trinity Washington University. Pat, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thanks for having me on, Tim. It's been great to be with you. Thank you.
Yep, and we will definitely see you on another Zoom call. Thanks, Pat.
Good.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Caller, when you get back, you're on Busted Pencils right after the break.
Cost to be alarmed. We are not the names that we've been given.